When I was in college, I was on a retreat one time where our leader asked us to rewrite the 23rd Psalm in our own words. Being an avid bicycle racer at the time, I decided to use a cycling motif. As I thought about this more and more, I realized that bicycle racing has some imagery and concepts which work well in describing our Lord and our relationship to Him. Now, in order for this to make any sense to you, I'm going to need to fill you in on a bit of bicycle racing strategy and terminology. There's a captain on the team, and the captain is the one who's supposed to win the race. The rest of the team members are called domestiques, French for servants. The job of the domestiques is to sacrifice themselves to ensure the victory of the captain. For example, as they're riding along, if the captain gets a flat tire, the domestique will stop, change that wheel for the captain so he can stay with the pack and not be left behind. It's the domestique's job to do the extra work of catching back up after getting his bicycle fixed. Now, all of this extra work means that by the end of the race, the domestiques have either been left behind, never to finish the race, or else they're so baked that they have no energy left and will not be contenders in the final sprint. There are a few domestiques, however, that are reserved until the end of the race. Their job is to ensure a good position for the captain in the final sprint. Now, as with any sport which moves at high speeds, wind resistance is a crucial factor. The rider who is in the front of the pack is riding into the wind and is doing an incredible amount of work, while the man who is riding right behind him in his draft is going at the very same speed, but with much less effort. Now, many of you know that in sports, from running or playing football or whatever sport you play, you can only maintain a sprint for a very short time. A very short distance is all you can cover at your maximum intensity. In bicycle racing, it's only a few hundred meters. So the goal at the end of the race is to get the captain within, say, 400 or 500 meters of the race finish, and you want to get him there in the lead and with fresh legs, not tired out. This is achieved with the lead out. The lead out man has the job of making sure that the captain gets to the front of the race at the end refreshed. The lead out man at the end of the race picks up the pace until finally he's going as fast as he can. Now remember, he's moving into the wind. He's doing an incredible amount of work, so much work that no one else can pass him. But the captain is riding right behind him, riding in his draft, almost getting pulled along by the lead-out man. Eventually, this domestique exhausts himself. He's given all he's got. He can't do anything more. Sensing this, the captain pulls around and goes into his sprint and goes for the finish line. Now, if it's done well, the captain will go on to win the race. The domestique will be passed by everyone. The captain receives all of his glory at the finish line. He's the one who gets all of the accolades, the medal, the winner's jersey, the photo in the newspaper, but he couldn't have done it without his team, without the domestiques, and especially without the lead-out man. Now, it may be coming clear to you now how this imagery meshes well with that in the 23rd Psalm. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The imagery of a shepherd is of one who cares for, protects, and leads his flock. He brings them to quiet places. He gives them rest. He protects them from the wolves. They are comforted by his presence. In the cycling imagery, Jesus is the domestique. He gives you rest by allowing you to ride in his draft. He protects you from the attacks of your opponents. He comforts you by his very presence because you know that if he is there, you will surely win the race. 23rd Psalm, in the original sheep imagery, talks about the valley of the shadow of death. In the metaphor, it's a dark and scary place, a place that the sheep are afraid to go. But they do go because their shepherd leads them. He's walking in front of them with his staff, his tool for protecting and leading the flock. They are not afraid because he is there. Applying this imagery to ourselves, it's any difficult situation we might face, any tough time. Ultimately, it is death itself. In the cycling imagery, the valley of the shadow of death is the corners, a most dangerous place. Take the corners too wide, and you'll lose the race. Take them a little too fast, too tightly, and you'll lose your traction, and you'll crash. New racers are always afraid of the corners as they go into them for the first time at high speeds, and so cycling coaches tell their riders to follow the line of a guy in front of you, preferably one who's more experienced than you. If they made it through that corner, no matter how impossible it seemed, no matter how steeply they had to lean their bicycle over into the corner, no matter how much you don't believe they're going to make it, if they made it, and if you follow the path that they took, you too will make it through that corner. Jesus, as your perfect lead-out man, picks the perfect line for you through those corners. He made it through. Jesus went through that corner, went through that valley of the shadow of death, went through that death itself, and he came out alive. And because he lives, you too shall live. But how many times have we seen where the Lord is leading and we didn't trust him? How many times did we see the path that the Lord was taking and we decided not to follow? That's where we get tangled up with others around us and we crash. There's nothing worse than crashing in a bicycle race. For a split second, you realize it's happening, but it's too late. There's nothing you can do about it. First, you hit other riders, and then you hit the ground. Others ride into and over you. Your crash causes others to crash all over. There's pain as you hit the asphalt and you slide. The ground ripping away the lycra and viciously biting into your flesh. Not much different from sin, really. We don't see or fear the drastic consequences until it's too late. But when they come, all you can do is watch your world go upside down and wait to hit the ground. The damage is great. Broken friendships, stressed marriages, physical or psychological damage. And most importantly, the fracturing and potential destruction of your relationship with God as you veer off that path of righteousness, as you veer off from His will, from His word, and go your own way. The damage is great. These crashes are painful. They can even be deadly. But Jesus, as the perfect domestique, sees that you've crashed, and He comes to you. He looks down at you with His loving eyes, sees you lying there on the ground, shaken and bloody, looks at your bicycle, twisted and mangled, and then He gets off of His bike and gives it to you. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He could have won the race on His own, but He didn't. He didn't consider His own glory, but rather He took on the form of a servant, a domestique. Actually, the metaphor breaks down here a bit, because there's nothing that we contribute toward our salvation, not even pedaling someone else's bike across the line. Forgiveness, salvation, is a gift from God. It would be more appropriate to say that Jesus comes to you, sees you there in your blood, in your pain, and He picks you up off the ground and places you on the back of His bicycle, and He pedals you across the line victorious. That bicycle, baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution, carries you to the Father. What a good and gracious God we have. The Lord is my lead-out man, I shall not want. He gives me rest riding in His draft. He leads me to safe places in the pack. He restores my strength. He picks the perfect line through the corners, bringing praise to His name. And even though others are pushing and crashing all about me, I will not be afraid, because You have gone before me. The sight of Your jersey and Your wheel, they comfort me. You throw a victory party for me in the presence of my opponents. You massage my tired muscles with oil. My victories are too numerous to count. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.